We extend Christian greetings, and we count it a real privilege and a joy to be here to worship the Lord with you this morning. It's been a while. It's been quite a while since I've preached. We've had, I think, about six visiting ministers since the last time that I preached here. And we were glad for every one of them. So maybe I feel a little rusty, and yet the message that I feel the Lord has desires for me to share this morning has been a journey. And it's been a journey of several months. I told my wife as we were coming this morning that I feel, even though I've had a lot of time and I've had this subject on my heart for several months already to share, I felt like I was overwhelmed with the magnitude of it. And so I hope you pray that God would somehow help me to share this in a way that he can be glorified and my own needs can be met as well. Several months ago, I met a lady who used to work in a professional office, and today she's a stay-at-home mother. I didn't recognize her when I first saw her, but she recognized me because of my wife. And she made a statement that I haven't forgotten. She said, God is working on my heart. And so the subject that we want to talk about this morning is something that every one of us in this room has, and that's a heart. Every one of us has a heart. And I'm overwhelmed as I looked at the scripture, and it seemed like after I heard that statement, God used that statement to work on my heart. And it almost seemed like every time I turned around, why there was something about heart looking at me. When I read the word, I saw heart where I hadn't thought about before. And it wasn't until I started walking up here that it's on the board this morning, heart. And there's numerous other occasions that I've had in the last several weeks, even the last several months, but even the last several weeks, that reminded me of the heart and of how important this is. So I trust this message will not only speak to me, but it speak to all of us. I personally desire that it does. She said, God is working on my heart. And because of someone else that she mentioned that she knows quite well, I talked to this individual about this lady, and then I understood that maybe God is still not finished working on her heart. She's been divorced and remarried, and I guess it maybe somewhat bothers her, and yet her husband assures her that this was God's way to get her to him. Well, we'll leave that what it is. But this morning, I trust the matter is, where we stand with our heart. I've entitled my message simply this: how healthy is your heart? Most of you know that I've had some problem with my heart, and I still do, brothers, maybe in a different way than just physical. And it's a blessing. It was a blessing to find a physician to help me with my heart. That's a blessing. We also had an anointing service, and I was blessed and reminded some time ago, I'm not sure who it was or when it was, my wife was on the telephone and someone was asking me about my health, evidently. I didn't really ask her a lot of details. But I appreciated her response. And she said that I was anointed and she believes God has healed me. And I praise God for that. You know, as I get older, I find it interesting when you meet people who you haven't seen for a long time, and you meet, they will ask, how are you? How are you doing? And then they'll often ask, how's your health? And so then I respond. And I say, well, I've had some issues in the past, but I'm thankful that I'm quite well right now. And of course, I don't always do this, but I should return that question, how's yours? And maybe as Christians, we should be asking, How is your heart? How healthy is it? What is your relationship with Jesus Christ? And how is it with you? And since I've met that lady and testified that God is working on her heart, I've been arranged, like I mentioned before, I've been amazed in reading the scriptures, how many times it refers to the heart, and meeting other people who refer to the heart. Just yesterday morning, I was praying with a brother, and I don't know how many times, but a number of times, he referred to the heart, our hearts, in his prayer. And I think that's wonderful. In the Strong's Concordance in the Old Testament alone, it mentions the heart over 700 times. That's in the Old Testament. And Vines would say, if you look at the synonyms as well, and that are translated from the Hebrew language, it would be mentioned over 860 times in the Old Testament. And so I believe we can say that God is interested in our hearts. And He's concerned about them. And He's made provision for us. And in the New Testament, we find approximately 108 times, the heart mentioned. Now, if you will, turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. Here we find the first evidence of the heart that God speaks here in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Genesis 6, verse 5, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And we're living in that today, I believe. Then it says in verse 6, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." And so not only man has heart, we were created in the image of God, but the Bible refers to God having a heart as well. And because of the choices that man has taken, Adam and Eve has taken in the garden, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. And that's the way man is going to continue unless we go to the great physician and we have a heart surgery and we have that heart problem taken care of. That's what's going to happen, and we still deal with it anyway, do we not? But I praise God for victories which we can experience. And it said, "It repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." Now, I trust our desire is that we live for the Lord and we don't continually bring grief on the heart of God. Children, young people, you have a heart as well. You have a choice to make in life. And according to what you choose, the choices you make, you can bring grief to the heart of God as well as grief to the hearts of your parents. And I'm sure that I brought much grief to my mother at times. But I praise God that we can come to Jesus Christ, we can come to Him, and we can receive forgiveness and cleansing of past sins, of present sins, and we can be restored into a right relationship with God. And I praise God this morning for that. All right, I don't just have a certain passage of Scripture this morning, but I'm going to be looking at a number of Scriptures in the Old as well as the New Testament. And in Deuteronomy chapter 30, I'd like to turn to that. We find here that the heart can be used of the inner man. Deuteronomy chapter 30. It's going to take some time to go through some of these Old Testament scriptures, but I was blessed as I did so. Deuteronomy 30 we'll begin reading in verse 11. "For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, and it is neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? I always love this chapter. It's Moses' farewell message to the children of Israel. And he's pleading for them, to them. Then in verse 14 he says, but the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. So this is a blessing as we think of the scripture. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth, in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. God has made his word readily available to us, the Old and New Testament, so that we are without excuse. And he wants us to have it in our heart that we may do his will and follow him and serve him and love him. We praise him for his marvelous provision for our salvation and redemption. Now turn with me to, it's like I mentioned here, it can be used of the inner man, the heart. Now I'd like to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Here we find this when they were trying to find a king. 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 7. And it came to, in verse 6 it says, it came to pass when they were come, talking about Samuel here, coming to Bethlehem and looking for a king. Came to pass when they were come, he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, but for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. He looketh right through the outward into our hearts. Now, by that, I'm not saying that if the heart is right, I believe it's going to affect the outside as well. And we might talk more about that later. But the beautiful thing here is, as Samuel came there, and he looked at all those boys, and he thought he knew which one it was, but God said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And I praise God this morning that he makes provision that we can have hearts that glorify him and that are cleansed. We praise God for his provision which he has made for us in this. Now going to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 12 through 15. And they entered into a, this is talking about Judah here. My Bible says Judah makes a solemn covenant with God. And then in verse 12 here, he says, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, and that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting, with trumpets and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. Maybe I missed one word there. For they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire, which also is our heart. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. This morning, I believe this is not only for the Old Testament, but we can experience it in the New Testament today. We can experience rest in our hearts as we seek God and as we come to Him and we claim His promises and we rest in Him. Now it's in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. I won't turn to that, but I remember so well. I think it was the first ministers' meeting that our congregation hosted. We had it at Springdale Mennonite Church. We didn't have this building at that time. And we use this as a theme verse, and that is, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart." Again, talking about the heart of God. A promise that He gave the children of Israel, that He would give them pastors according to His heart. Now, as we think of heart, it is also the seat of desire, inclination, or will. And it can be indicated by the heart. Now turning to Exodus chapter 35. Exodus chapter 35. Verse 5. Again reading in verse 4. "And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and badger skins and shittim wood and oil for the light and spices for anointing oil. And for the sweet incense." We'll cease reading there. But Moses here says, "Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart. Let him bring it." And I believe there's a blessing if we learn the value of giving with a willing heart. I had an experience not too long ago. I don't know if some of you are aware that, you know, a certain Sunday in the month, there's what you call a Grandparents' Day. A few days before this, a little girl came in through my door down at the office, and just her countenance was such a blessing to me. Yes, she had an offering, and the offering was okay, but it really wasn't the offering that was so special to me. It was the countenance of that child that blessed my heart. I went home and told my wife, I said, "You should have seen it. You should have experienced it with me." And how many times do we have the opportunity of giving an offering, a gift, just a smile or whatever it may be, for the glory of God, if we receive willingly all the blessings that God has provided for us in His Word through His Holy Spirit, and we have the joy of the Lord in our heart. There's some verses in the Bible about that as well, about having the joy of the Lord in our heart. And what a blessing it is in the building of the kingdom as we together as His children have that joy in our hearts and share it with those whom we come in contact with. I'll tell you, it's a blessing. It's a real joy if we recognize that. You know, the seed of desire, inclination, our will can be indicated by the heart, by the way we live, the way we give, the way we share, the way we respond to needs, our hurts, or whatever it may be. Then going on to verse 21 and 29, of the same scripture. "And there came," let's begin reading in verse 20, "and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whose spirit had made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted. and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets and all jewels of gold. And every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. I love their response here. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up. They had gotten some blessings, some encouragement from Moses. He was ready to depart this life. And he gave them some instructions how they should respond. And their hearts were stirred up. And it says, they came, both men and women, and as many as were willing-hearted, and brought and gave. I believe, parents, this morning, as we get our hearts stirred, as we get enthused about the things of God, about giving to those who have in need, about giving of that which the Lord has blessed us with, I believe it's going to ripple through our families and our children. And they're going to have a desire to give as well in their hearts. May God continue to stir us up as we continue to walk with Him. And the next one that I was going to read is Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. The seat of our emotions. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Now we have a brother that reminds us that quite frequently. And that's okay. That's okay. And again, I say, that's okay. We need to stir each other up. And may God help us to do so. All right, again, I think we'll take another verse in Deuteronomy, chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 5. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. To walk in his ways and to fear him. I like this scripture where it says, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son. Why do you chasten him? Our daughter, I trust because you love them. You care about them. You care about the direction they're going. And it says, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. You know, the chastening of the Lord isn't always pleasant, but it is productive as we receive it and allow it to do its work in our hearts, in our lives. May God help us to recognize that and to allow Him to speak to us. And I was also blessed, Brother Allen, in talking to us about Ezekiel. He mentioned also about that scripture, about the heart. Won't take time to turn to that. Now I'd like to turn to Psalm and look at some scriptures about the heart. Psalm 108. It's another one I had wanted to, but I can't seem to lay my eyes on it right now. So let's turn to Psalm 108. Psalm 108, verses 1 through 6. Oh God, my Bible says David prays for God's help according to his promise. A song or psalm of David in verse 1. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Awake, polystyrene harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reaches unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth. That thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand and answer me. Now I'm blessed with this first verse. O God, my heart is fixed. This morning, I asked the question, how healthy is your heart? How healthy is your heart? The question is your heart fixed? Is my heart fixed? Have we invited? Have we asked? Have we pled? Have we interceded to the great physician to come in and fix our heart? And what a blessing it is this morning to have a heart fixed, changed, broadened a right relationship with God. Now turn with me to Psalm 119. Now we have quite a few verses here. I didn't jot them down, but I think I have them all underlined in my Bible. And I'm going to be looking at a number of verses here about heart in Psalm 119. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Then in verse 7, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart, and when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. In verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. What a promise that we have there. The promise of the faithfulness of God. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Now going to verse 32. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. In verse 34. Give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Yea, shall I observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Then going to verse 58. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. Then in verse 69. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. Verse 80, let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. Then in verse 112, I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. 145, I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. Then going to verse 161. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of thy word. In verse 64. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. That doesn't have heart in here, but it's a blessing as we think about the faithfulness of God and how he wants us to be faithful in loving him and serving him. Now going to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23 in verse 26. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. What a blessing as we think of that. The Proverbs writer here is simply saying, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. This morning, fathers, do we recognize the importance of having our children's hearts? Do we recognize that? Of having our children's hearts. I was talking to a man in the community several weeks ago, And we've gotten on some pretty interesting subjects. And we were talking about some conditions in the world today. I don't remember exactly what we were talking about. And he shared something that was very interesting. He has a son. And he said, his son is married, I think. But he said, usually when I tell my son this, depending on what we're discussing, say, son, everything is black and white. If anything is gray, look into your heart. I appreciated that advice. He said, son, everything is black and white. If anything is gray, look into your heart. But this morning, the question is this. Parents, what are we putting into the hearts of our lambs, of our children, of our young people? Can we trust them to look into their hearts and make choices and decisions that are according to the Word of God? And what a blessing as we think about that. Now we'd like to look at some more scriptures in Matthew chapter 12. I know this is in our Sunday school lesson. It was, but I'd like to read it. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 35. A good man out of the treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the days of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. This morning, here we have the Word of God, the words of Jesus, very plain. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart. This morning, is your heart being filled with the good treasures of the Word of God, of the things of God? Bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And then in chapter 13, verse 19. In verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in the heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that hears the word and anointed with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. And we know the rest of it there. But this morning, are we aware of the enemy of our souls? Wherefore, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. That which was sown in his heart. That's the work of the enemy, to draw it out of our hearts so that we do not walk with God. What a tragedy as we think of that. What a tragedy as we think of that. Now I'd like to turn to John chapter 14. I think Brother John had used this scripture just a couple of weeks ago about when he's talking about heaven. But I'd like to look at the scripture again. John chapter 14. Very familiar one. Going to be looking at just a few verses here, where Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. As I look at this scripture, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. And I believe this disease of having troubled heart is very common amongst us. And I believe its cure is humanly impossible. There were probably several reasons why Jesus shared this. The disciples were probably troubled or affrighted. Judas had left them. And Jesus was speaking of leaving them. And I believe it just warned Peter that before the cock is going to crow three times, he's going to deny him. So I can imagine all that was troubling the disciples. But Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Then he shares with them these promises. And I praise God we still have them today. We have a number of elderly among us, and I thank God for them. And I'm kind of entering their stage pretty fast myself. But, you know, sometimes when we think of things that are going on in our world today, and we get troubled, we get concerned. We're concerned about what our children, our grandchildren might have to face. But I believe we need to claim the promises of God. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Then he goes on to assure us that in my Father's house, there are many mansions. And he says, if it would not be so, I would have told you. But then he says, I go to prepare a place for you. This morning, we have the assurance, even though we might have a weak heart physically, if our heart is fixed, we can look forward to someday if this heart stops and we will be transferred to glory land. And we will be in the presence of God forever. Jesus is up there preparing a mansion for us. And praise God, before he went to heaven, he gave himself for our sins. Shed his blood, suffered and died, that we could be cleansed. And then he was placed in the grave. And praise God, the grave could not hold him. But he resurrected, he arose, he ascended, and he's up in heaven. And I praise God for that. And it says, whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. This morning, do you know the Father? Do you know Jesus? Is your heart fixed? Are you in right standing with God? And are you looking forward to someday Jesus is coming back to claim us and take us to be with him? Yes, I can identify with you this morning if your heart is troubled at times. Mine gets troubled. But I'm trying by the grace of God. You know, the signs of the times that we're living in. But when we look within at our sins and our failures, I praise God there's a remedy. Heart trouble is a common problem, but the word and the work of Jesus Christ is a perfect remedy for our heart problem. Psalms 34:18, he says, he came to bind up the broken heart. This morning, I'd just like to challenge us as parents. I mentioned the subject this morning is something that everyone has, and that's a heart. But as I was thinking about that, I thought of all the little hearts, the little innocent hearts amongst us, the little innocent hearts amongst us. And this morning, somebody is going to be filling those little minds and hearts. Somebody's going to be filling those little minds and hearts. And may I emphasize that God has called you as parents and those of us as grandparents to be instrumental, to be involved in filling those little hearts of innocency and minds. It's our responsibility. It's our calling. It's our responsibility. I remember talking probably 35, 40 years ago to a ministering brother in another community. And I don't know what all the issues were, but he was telling me about some disobedience and things they had in church. And he said they started talking to some of these people, and their response was, "It's such a little thing. Why do you talk about things? Why don't you talk about our hearts?" And I remember so well back a number of years ago, that was kind of the thrust. Nothing else matters. It's the heart that matters. And that's true. It is the heart that matters. But if the heart is right, there'll be some other matters right too, I believe. I believe there'll be some other matters right too. So he said, we decided to change our way of working. We went back to these people and we asked them how their heart was. Then they were offended. You think our hearts aren't right? This morning, you know, when our hearts aren't right, it kind of has a way of coming out. I've had that happen to me. That I was horrified, so to speak, at what I said or did. But I'm thankful that I can confess. I can have my heart problems cleared up. I was in Philippians chapter 4. I'd like to look at that, Philippians 4 verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This morning, if you have the peace of God, I trust you wouldn't trade it for anything. And peace with your brethren. Talked about heart problems, physical heart problems. And my father's extended family, as well as some of his brothers and family, it's in us to have heart problems. Many of them have died at a twinkling, at a moment. And life was over. My brother that's still living, older brother that's still living, he said he's probably 15, 20 years older than I am. He said he's never had any heart problems. A few weeks ago, he started having some pains on two different occasions. So finally, he called his family doctor and he said, you head for the emergency room. Don't come to my office. You go for the emergency room. Well, he didn't think that was necessary, but he listened. And they examined him and they said that one of his veins was clogged. They need to do surgery, just one. But he was clogged, and they needed to do surgery. And so he submitted to that surgery, even at his age. So I didn't know about it to begin with, but several weeks later I called him, and I asked him, I said, "How's it going? How are you doing?" He said, "I'm doing wonderful." And he said, "I never knew I had heart problems, but," he said, "I had some other problems." And he said, "Since I've had that heart problem taken care of, there's three other areas in my life, in my physical condition, that have cleared up." I thought that was beautiful. Took care of the heart, and three other areas were taken care of. This morning, if we have problems, it might just be a little grouchy, being critical at others. Critical at the church, at parents, or whatever it may be. My parents are kind of stern. They carry the club. They're dictators, or whatever it may be. It just may be you need heart surgery. You need heart surgery. I've been asked already, how is it with you and your daughters? Do you have their hearts? That's a fair question. This morning, I ask you, do you have your daughter's heart? Do you have your wife's heart? Do you have your son's heart? And the other question is, does God have your heart? Does God have your heart? I told you that so many times since I had been preparing for this message, it seemed like everything I looked at had the word heart on it. My wife received a birthday card from a cousin the other day in another state, and I looked at it. She had it hanging there on the wall, and it said this: on your birthday and every day, may the blessing of His hand touch the mission in your heart. I'm not sure what all that's supposed to mean, but I thought it was a blessing. On your birthday and every day, may the blessing of His hand touch the mission in your heart. But this morning is our mission after the heart of God. Is our mission with our brother, with our sister, with our family, with our children. This morning, I'm thankful to God, the great physician that is waiting to do surgery on our hearts if it's not right with Him. Shall we kneel in prayer? Our righteous, eternal Father in heaven, we come to You this morning with praise and gratitude in our hearts. Grateful, Father, for Your provision for us. We thank You for in every one of us is a gift of life, a heart, blood, the very breath of life. We thank You for it. But Father, we thank You most of all for the spiritual gift of life, where we can receive Jesus Christ into our heart through Your Holy Spirit, receive forgiveness of sins, and be restored in a right relationship with You. Father, we thank You because of Your provision. We can have our hearts fixed, like the psalmist of old said. Thank You for each one present here this morning. And Lord, we pray You would just work in our hearts in a way that You can be uplifted, where You can be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.